2015, an elite DFS Army Commando unit formed to bring high-level DFS strategy to the masses. Today, hated by DFS sharks and lineup sellers alike, they continue their quest to turn Joe into DFS pro.
What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another DFS Army Bold Calls Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Kevin Allen. I'm your host. We're breaking down fantasy fallout from the NFL Fantasy Draft, AFC edition. And with me, as always, is my partner in crime, my right-hand man, the man with the plan. Season long says, what's up, my man?
Hey, ho, man. I'm glad to be doing this again. This was like one of my favorite drafts of all time. I'm very happy that we're going to be talking about it in detail now. Favorite for a lot of reasons. It just was so different, unique. And I know some people don't like love the draft. They think it's stupid, but it seemed more and more people were into it this year. They're kind of finally seeing what the draft is all about and how exciting it can be. So ready to talk.
I mean, I loved it. Lots and lots of fantasy relevant players in the first two rounds. Unusual. Six wide receivers in the first round. Unusual. Lots of fantasy implications.
That's
and hopefully a re-upping of the fantasy talent in the NFL across the board, because we've had a bit of a fallout over the last couple of years, as we've seen with mock drafts. So let's get rolling. The idea today is we're going to go team by team, alphabetical order, AFC, breaking down the fantasy relevant picks, the fantasy relevant players, and trying to figure out what changed going forward in our fantasy drafts and for our teams that we love. So we'll start with the Baltimore Ravens. And just looking through their draft, the big one, number 55 overall, running back J.K. Dobbins. They've got a wide receiver, fourth round in Devin Duvernay,
and don't sleep on that. That's a major steal for them. And we'll talk about how he's one of the most sure-handed players in all of football that was drafted. We'll talk
about it.
There we
go. Two very fantasy relevant players. Why? Yeah. Because that team doesn't have much going on at wide receiver. That's really, really important. And of course, J.K. Dobbins, potential eventual replacement for Mark Ingram. So let's break it down for me. What are the changes to the draft board for the Ravens? And did you like this draft for them overall?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what's funny is like pre-draft, before, you know, when we were trying to just ranking the rookie running backs, you know, the biggest criticism I'd heard of J.K. Dobbins was that he plays with a mobile quarterback in college and he's not going to get that luxury in the NFL. Well, guess what? He's going to get that luxury even more with a better offensive line. So I'm very, you know, I told you J.K. Dobbins was number two for me overall in my pre-rankings. It's going to be really hard to knock him out of the number two. I mean, for obvious reasons, when we do our complete rookie rankings, I love this spot for J.K. Dobbins. My expectations in redraft are limited just because I think that Mark Ingram showed that he could be the dominant guy. But think about two seasons ago when we were afraid of Nick Chubb in redraft because of Carlos Hyde. This reminds me a little bit of that.
It definitely does. So redraft, again, I agree with you. Little tricky. There's a double whammy on the Ravens in that obviously Lamar Jackson takes a lot of those touchdowns himself, but the equalizer is they just score a lot on the Ravens. Yeah. They move the football. So yeah, if Lamar takes one for himself, there's still usually two or three, and he doesn't usually throw for that many touchdowns. They do like to run the football. I like J.K. Dobbins. Mark Ingram could get hurt. There's a lot of reasons why Dobbins could be that. If Mark Ingram gets hurt, for example, look out. That's all. Look out. They really don't have a lot else good going on. Now, tell me a little bit about...
I just want to ask you, we're just off the top of your head, don't overthink it. What round in redraft, best one, not dynasty, do you think J.K. Dobbins? I think he's going to get pushed down.
We're talking round 10.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a little late, but yeah, I mean, I'm 8, 9, 10, sure.
I think premium handcuff zone. So like where you're looking at the Pollards, the Alexander Mathisons of the world.
Yeah, that's round 8.
8 or 9. Yeah. Depends on how deep your league is too. Like if you have a deep bench, you're trying to still get starters in those spots. So
absolutely
depends on the, it's really tough. That's to smart.
I didn't think about that. I was thinking about 20 round best balls. So yeah.
Yeah. No, 20 round best ball. Another story. I'm really thinking of like when you say redraft, but best ball. Yeah. I would definitely all running backs get pushed up a little bit. Mm-hmm. Now real quick, as we're on this team, they added Devin Duvernay.
Yeah. Let me give you the rundown on him. He was grossly undervalued through this whole process. Like he's the guy that he went in round four. It was round four. You said,
he went, pick number two overall. I'm doing quick math. And assuming
I think he's around three. In Texas, dude, this guy catches everything thrown out. He's the most sure-handed receiver in the draft outside of Michael Pittman.
Just to correct, that is late round three.
So
I'm looking at the numbers, not the round.
The Ravens got the two of the biggest steals as far as talent. And when you're loaded at most of the positions, you could do that. I mean, Devin Duvernay, I mean, there is a little bit of a crowded house there, but, and again, for fantasy, his upside in year one is probably a wide receiver.
Is it a crowded house? Anderson, you've got Hollywood Brown, who's an explosive guy, and then they have nothing else. I don't think it's a crowded house, but they don't throw very much.
Well, okay. So you have Mark Andrews, who's going to soak up 130 targets this year. I mean, he was at 98 last year and he missed some games. So if he's healthy, he's got to be 120, 125 targets.
That's a lot of targets for a tight end, but
still, they're going to throw 650 times. So there's plenty to go around. Like you said, Hollywood Brown, another 120. Fine. So you're right. Maybe Duvernay, there is a path to immediate fantasy relevance. Now, Miles Boykin's going to be going to his second year. I still think the jury's out on him. I like him as a prospect, but this guy, Duvernay, man, watch his highlights. Mark, I want you to write down to make sure you watch his highlights. The guy catches everything, and he's a yards after the catch monster. I really like him. He's going in like the late third, early fourth round of dynasty drafts right now. He's an absolute steal.
I like that pick in dynasty too. The skill set really does complement Brown, who's way more of an explosive 5 catches a game. You know, hope for a break.
He's a short yardage catch and go. He's Odell Beckham sort of slant speed.
It feels like a high end replacement for Willie Snizzles, my man Willie.
Yeah, Sneed. And that's exactly. Well, Willie Snead's going to be there. He's just going to be veteran depth at this
Willie
point, Sneed right?
Not really there. He's there, but he's not really there.
Not fantasy relevant.
Team overall, because we're talking full fantasy implications. Everything about this is just plus, amazing. Plus for the Ravens, plus for Lamar Jackson, plus for that Ravens passing game. Lots of pluses. Really, really just prop up. As much as we like the Ravens as a fantasy asset to target across the board, I think you have to bump up everybody, except maybe Mark Ingram, who probably gets a little bit of a negative score here just because the replacement is now waiting in the wings. I still think Ingram's fine, and you might be able to get him for a little bit cheaper in the draft, and he should still be the guy for this year.
Yeah, and you know the one problem for J.K. Dobbins, for Mark Ingram is not J.K. Dobbins. I think that Gus Edwards, who I think is a good NFL player, and J.K. Dobbins, I think that's really the battle to watch in camp. I don't think there's any doubt that Mark Ingram is going to lead this backfield in touches. You saw what that team looked like in the playoffs without him when he was dinged up. I don't want to spend too much time. We got to get through a lot of teams.
Yeah, I don't think Gus Edwards is anything better than even just a guy and maybe even calling
him. He might be, but he's a guy that can get 8 to 9 touches in a football game, which hurts the upside of some of the fantasy players.
There we go. All right, let's move on to the Bills. We love the Ravens draft. It was really, really good, and it's good for their fantasy assets. Let's move on to Buffalo, the Bills. And I'm going to call their first draft pick Stephon Diggs. I'm sorry. You just have to look at it that way. They added Stephon Diggs to the mix. That's part of this deal here. At running back, they took a guy late, Zach Moss.
Third round is not late. Zach Moss was a top 7-8 running back prospect, and he went in the third round, which is significant. And he's good. I mean, he's more of a Frank Gore replacement. That's his skill set. He's a little bit of a check his age. I think he's a little bit of an older prospect. He's the definition of a 3-year, 4-year dynasty running back. I mean, he's a workman. I think that you could be looking at like a 65-35 split. Zach Moss is a good football player. And I think that more than anything, it's not that Zach Moss is going to be super relevant, especially since you and I agree Josh Allen is their goal line back.
It's actually a problem. I would say.
Yeah, it's a problem more than a help.
Yeah, I would say because my analysis is what I'm taking away from this draft is I'm propping up Josh Allen. Even it's hard to prop him up any more than you and I have done.
Right,
well, so I don't know how to do that. But because we already have him top five, top six. But I'm giving a negative to Devin Singletary here. I was hoping that we'd see a Singletary takeover. But this team, if you can't get volume at the running back because of the lack of touchdown scoring from the running back position, you lack the volume. It's a real problem. Devin Singletary moving down the board for me because it looks like a little shake and bake is going to be happening here.
Yeah, I mean, look, he was the 22nd pick of the third round. For running backs, man, that's good. In any other running back year, Zach Moss is like running back four. Like in last year's class, I would have had him above or right with David Montgomery, okay? Not certainly not ahead of Sanders and Jacobs, but in this amazing class, you know, he gets pushed down a little bit. And because of landing spot, I mean, we're going to talk about Keyshawn Vaughn later. He's a guy that moved up because of landing spot. Zach Moss is an injury away from being a top 14 back in the NFL for fantasy.
There we go. Again, overall, fantasy relevant changes on the Bills. I think you and I are both in agreement. We continue to love Josh Allen. I think we're counting Stephon Diggs in this mix, he should do just fine. Maybe a negative for him.
Where do you put Diggs? Like, do you like him more than last year, less than last year, or about the same as last year?
No, less than last year. I mean, it's tough to like him more. He was a top 12 pick, top 15 pick. I think he'll see less volume in this offense across the board. We saw the best Stephon Diggs last year, and he is who he is. He's not going to be a consistent player for the most part. I think the best thing that happened with that trade was more Thielen related than Diggs for me, where I like Thielen a lot more than I did before. But Diggs is going to be in a good spot. But, you know, he's with a quarterback that's not going to throw a ton, and the volume is so down on this team that it's really, really difficult to produce as a PPR asset when you're only catching five targets or seven or eight, six or seven targets a game max and catching four of them. So no, Diggs gets a little bit of a downgrade. But team wise, as a Bills fan, I'm very happy to have him. If I was a Bills fan, I would be very happy to have him. And I think it helps Josh Allen more than anything else.
What do you think about the addition of Georgia QB, Jake Fromm, who most thought was going to be a third round pick, ends up being a fifth round pick and couldn't be more opposite than Josh Allen. He doesn't run. He's a smart pocket passer. I mean, he profiles as probably the 33rd best quarterback in the NFL at his peak, which is a good thing, by the way. He's going to be one of those quarterbacks that ends up being like the best backup you can have, and then maybe he gets like one starter contract that doesn't work out. Like, I have my comp for him is Nick Foles.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not going to get excited about a backup. I'm looking for fantasy relevant things.
How about Superflex? Are you interested in him?
Not even in the slightest. Okay. I'm not going to hold backup quarterbacks like that.
Fifth round, right?
It's like it's not for me. It's not for me. I'm not interested in him. Let's move on to next up, alphabetical order. Not by my favorite teams. This is alphabetized. All right, we're going to the Cincinnati Bengals. Big time draft, Cincinnati Bengals, Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, two very, very key components of this offense going forward. T. Higgins, you broke it down. I'm going to use your words because I remember what you tell me.
Good.
AJ Green profile.
Yeah, I mean, he's exactly what if we were in a lab and they're like, hey, can you recreate AJ Green for me? I'd come back with T. Higgins. You know,
if I can get T. Higgins on my dynasty squad with pick number 12, man, or pick 7 or 8 or 9, should I be all over this? I think you're getting him at the 12th round, but we're talking fantasy relevant moves. This whole team is just uplifted here with the addition of a real quarterback.
What do they say? The rising tide lifts all boats, right? And by the way, sorry about that. I'm sorry. I'm talking over you. Go ahead, man.
No, go ahead. But I mean, Joe Mixon, finally interesting. Will they be a losing team? Will they turn it around? Will they be an exciting team like the Giants last year? A lot of scoring, not a lot of winning.
Yeah. I just want to
acknowledge for fantasy. Go ahead.
I just want to acknowledge some of our commenters and then we'll get back to the action here. Some great comments in by Mike Goff and Jonah Whale. I mean, thank you guys. I definitely appreciate it. And we'll get to it. And we're reading your comments as we're commentating. Don't think we're ignoring you for a minute. So keep them coming. Everybody in there, keep those comments going. And we agree with everything you said. It's when we don't agree with you is when we're gonna blast you. So getting back to can you think of a better situation for Joe Burrow to walk into? And like unbelievable. AJ Green's got to be thrilled, because if you want to rehab your value and try to get a contract next year, you couldn't ask for a better walk-in quarterback. Joe Burrow, the thing with him now, he's a little bit older for a prospect. He'll be 24 when the season starts. By comparison, Sam Darnold's 22 when the season
starts. Give me hope as a Jets fan that he can grow into something.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's like the reason, you know, listen, Joe Burrow had the best college season ever of any quarterback from a statistics standpoint last year. But being older, you'd almost expect him to have the best season. But this was beyond, I mean, 60 touchdowns or whatever the hell it was. I expect him to walk in there day one and be a top 14, 15 fantasy quarterback.
It's a Kyler Murray situation.
I think this is different. This is better because he just is a processor of information. I think that Kyler Murray even had a little bit of a slow start before he showed promise. Joe Burrow comes in there day one, slings the football around to these guys. They get an offensive lineman back that they drafted last year in the first round. Jonah comes back, and that guy is just a meat grinder, a road grinder. Joe Mixon's going to have the biggest holes that he's had of his career right now. You know, like there's always one bad team.
He's going to have the biggest hole he's had since, you know, he hooked up with the girl who goes around the whole football team.
Poor Joe.
The team passes around.
Poor Joe. But I'm just saying is, you know, like there's always one bad team that's going to make the playoffs. Like, you know, there's always one like 4-12 team that ends up making it. With the new playoff rules, where they're expanding it to two extra teams. I know the AFC is tough, but look out. I think the Bengals, if they're not a playoff team just because they have some holes in this, they're going to have some fantasy stars. You're going to want to invest in the Bengals. I love T. Higgins, love Joe Burrow, love Joe Mixon, all of them.
I like their mediocre defense as a bonus.
Yes.
This is my favorite thing for fantasy. I don't care who wins the game. A lot of the time I'm interested in fantasy goodness, and the greatest producer of fantasy goodness is usually a bad defense and an offense that can be prolific if it wants to be. So there's absolutely that opportunity to see similar to what the Giants were last year, where they just really couldn't stop anybody. The Bengals definitely did not do a ton to where, I mean, they drafted some linebackers and ends and whatnot in the later rounds, but I don't think you're going to turn your team around defensively that quickly. So we can expect them to allow a lot of points, score a lot of points to keep up. Exciting, young, fresh faces, all good stuff. What about T. Higgins? Does he have fantasy relevance this season?
I don't think so because, I mean, think about it. They have AJ Green who's going to dominate. They're going to want a professional receiver like him in there. I think he sees the field. I mean, you also have Tyler Boyd, who you can't think of a better number two receiver to have in the league unless you have a star there. John Ross is not dead yet. He serves a purpose. You know, he's going to be the deep guy. I think T. Higgins is best served at, you know, I could see a season where he has 28 catches for 325 yards and, you know, two touchdowns or three touchdowns. Like, it's not going to be, unless there's an injury, I don't see a pass to fantasy relevance, but somebody said it in the comments and I agree. He's grossly undervalued. He'll show the kind of promise that we thought JJ Arcega-Whiteside would show. It'll be enough to be excited about him next year.
Yeah. And it doesn't, you know, if there is another Green injury and the guy gets hurt a lot,
yep, then we're in business.
Cards are off the table. Yeah. All right, let's move on. Alphabetical order. Cleveland Browns up next. Picked a tackle in the first round. Okay. Offensive tackle. Good thing. They have a lot going on offense. Don't need a lot more position players. Not a whole lot going on here in this draft from an offensive perspective that I think will really affect the team.
Well, the big one was Harrison Bryant.
Fourth round tight end.
Yeah, I know. Now, not a lot of, I mean, that's where the tight ends went in this. Now, everyone's very down on the tight end class, and that pushed them all down. And they might be right, but I mean, Harrison Bryant profiled pretty well. I like him. I mean, you're not going to grab him in redraft, but the player that they got in round six, Donovan Peoples-Jones, from the wide receiver and return man from Michigan, I cannot believe he fell. I thought for sure he was going to be a late third, early fourth round pick. That's a guy that I think fits perfectly into Cleveland. You and I both agree Odell Beckham is a trade candidate at some point this season. And we both agreed that Jarvis Landry is not a lock to be healthy to start the season. Now, I'm not saying, you know, look out, here comes Donovan Peoples-Jones. I'm just saying this is probably going to be their return man. I love the fit in Cleveland. I like Donovan Peoples-Jones.
There we go. Draft Nick stuff right there. Later pick, some potential, obviously a return man early. I don't think this trade, I mean, it's always great when you take, I mean, it feels boring to us. It's great when you take a tackle pick 10. That means you're getting a stud for the most part.
We like that for Nick Chubb. We love that for Nick Chubb.
We like it for Chubb. We like it for the whole offense. That a tackle improves your whole offense. Baker Mayfield potentially. So, you know, good on them. They picked up some defensive players here as well. They got a center a little bit late. We'll see if that offensive line can show some improvement. But, you know, good draft for them draft-wise. As far as fantasy relevance, not a ton going on here. We hope that Jarvis Landry will be healthy for the season for this team.
All right, every time someone picks Landry, I laugh.
Well, this was AJ Green last season. If they were listening to the Bold Calls pod breakdowns, they heard the very bold call, do not draft AJ Green under any circumstances, and they saved a lot of heartache. So I hope our listeners, our watchers, also were chuckling when that was happening. Now, here we go. Alphabetical order, no preference. Next up, Denver Broncos, wide receiver Jerry Jeudy, my guy, my favorite wide receiver in the draft, Jerry Jeudy, 15 overall, picked up a wide receiver. Surprising wide receiver, KJ Hamler. Didn't hear of him before the draft.
Yeah, all Hamler
going kind of early.
Hamler's is awesome. Eh? He's like a little slot guy. I mean, we could talk Jeudy first, but Hamler is gonna kill in the NFL. You know, this
well,
is
hold
good.
Up. Where's the spot for this guy? You've got Cortland Sutton. You've got Jerry Jeudy. Now yeah, they've got their slot guy in KJ Hamler.
Yeah. Yeah, no, this is they and then this sets up well for Drew Lock, all these picks. And I think this year the thing about Jeudy and the thing about Hamler is they profile as the guys that come into the NFL and kill in year one. Like, you remember how Cooper Kupp came in year one and was just like crushed? Like, that's I don't think Jeudy has the upside and Hamler has the upside of some of these fantasy studs that went even later than them. But I think they come in and they're forever mid-round picks in fantasy. Jeudy obviously has a little more upside, but Hamler, man, he is going to kill. He's going to be a great outlet pass, a good short area of the field for Drew Lock. But, you know, we know where Drew Lock likes to go. That's down the field, so we love this for Cortland Sutton too.
Well, let me stop you there, and let's talk a little Cortland Sutton for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Now, going into the draft, we're really looking at Cortland Sutton as, again, a potential. He didn't break out last season. He had a good year.
We liked him as a top 12 wide receiver.
We liked him as a top guy. Now the part of that was there really wasn't many other options on this Denver offense. Now they've added an elite number 2/possession wide receiver. Now they've added what sounds like potentially an elite slot guy. You're still dealing with Drew Lock. You've still got a team, Melvin Gordon, that wants to run the football. I personally, and I'm going to tell you what I'm doing. I know a lot of people don't like to do this. I am downgrading Cortland Sutton.
Fair.
In my rankings. I don't think the volume will be there. There's too many options on the field. I don't mind one guy. I do mind two. Too many options on the field for me. Not a great quarterback to begin with, in my opinion. Could grow into one. Hasn't shown me enough. Hasn't shown me the volume. I am downgrading. My bold call. I don't know if it's bold.
No, it's fair.
Fair call. Downgrading him. I don't like him as much now as I did before the draft. What say you?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're talking about long term or just for redraft. You don't like him as much. You're pushing him down. How about this
I'm
one?
I'm talking about redraft this year, right now. Where am I taking him? Before top 12, top 15, he's getting a downgrade from me. I'm going to be looking at some of those close calls. I'm going to be putting them ahead of him.
All right, let me give you a couple just to start off with, okay? I mean, we highlighted some of the reasons. Amari Cooper, who just gained a rookie in his backfield too. That's a similar situation. Amari Cooper just got CeeDee, and Cortland just got Hamler and Jeudy. So who do you like better?
Cooper all day. Not even a question for me.
Okay, is it because you like the quarterback better?
Yes, and I don't think that in the situation, Cooper was just paid as the stud of his team. Yep. They're not going to take a guy paid as much as they paid him and say, hey, we got a rookie, we're going to throw to him now. Courtland Sutton had not established himself as an elite player. He was in the, I think he could break out and become an elite player category.
Right. That's fair.
So there's a difference between one thing and the other. We have
Let me give you a couple more then. All right. Courtland Sutton or Cooper Kupp?
Cooper Kupp.
Courtland Sutton or Juju Smith-Schuster?
Schuster all day. Love Schuster.
Okay. Courtland Sutton or DK Metcalf?
DK Metcalf.
I'm going to give you two more if that's okay. Courtland Sutton or Stephon Diggs?
I need to
take a breath.
Stephon Diggs over Sutton. Boom.
Okay. All right. Well, last one, because I think this one is going to be a choice that a lot of people have to make. Courtland Sutton or Calvin Ridley?
Man, I was afraid you were going to say that.
Or is that a bridge too far?
No, it's not. I'm going Calvin Ridley. I'm telling
you. All right. So you're lower than market.
I am lower than market. I will not wind up with Courtland Sutton on my team. I like the guy. I like this player. I like the skills. I think he was elevated too high based on his potential. And I think that potential just got mooted by the pickup of two new assets. We might not see that difference week one, two, three, but by week six, seven, they start to get these other guys in the offense. You could see Courtland Sutton's volume back down to 4 or 5 targets a game. It's not enough for me for a WR 1.5 level player.
Yep. All right. Fair enough. So we like Hamler. I love the tight end that they picked up, Albert O. I'm going to learn how to say his name because I'm sick of it's like Akabunum. He is the most athletic guy of all the tight ends. He was profiled as tight end one. He's very raw, limited route tree. I think he's only been playing football for a handful of years. Like
David Njoku situation happened.
Yeah, right, he's even more raw than that, I think. But that's why he dropped it. Njoku was a first round pick. Remember? So I don't like Fant as much as everybody else does. I know that he's been a popular pick and he showed pretty well, you know. I mean, he was a first round pick last year, but I think Albert O, obviously not for this year, but he's an interesting player that they got late. I love what they did to you know what's great about this for the Denver Broncos? They're all in on Drew Locke. He's ready to go. But if it doesn't work out with Drew Locke, you can cut him like that. You drafted him in the second round. Cam Newton is sitting out there. You know, I mean, you're not married to this. So you give him a chance to succeed. And if not, you move on.
By the way, I reserve the right to change any of this if Jameis Winston.
Well, he's already been signed. He's a Saint.
What the fuck did that happen?
You missed it. Yeah, it was a day ago. The Saints signed him to a 1-year deal. To back up Drew Brees.
I had no idea. Okay, so I did not know that.
He's doing the Teddy Bridgewater thing where he's going to try to rehab. They're going to take the most turnover-prone quarterback and put him behind the least turnover-prone quarterback to try to teach him how to handle the ball.
You know what else they could be doing? Listen, Drew Brees got about 1 year left in him. They bring in Winston. They get a taste of him. They get a feel. They get a smell.
Yeah,
like this guy. Yeah, and next thing you know, he's your replacement for Drew Brees. As their domination going.
Yeah, as much as nobody wanted anything to do with Winston this year, I think a lot of teams are going to be interested in him in next year. The Pittsburgh Steelers, the Saints. I think there's going to be a couple other teams. Plus, there's three quarterback prospects.
I don't want to get too deep into that, the weeds of that. Let's move on. Yeah. I love to talk about it, but.
No, I understand. That's your job is to keep me.
We're hammering through.
Yep. I think I hear an echo, so if you could put in your headphones so you don't annoy the people.
Oh, there we go. All right. Alphabetical order. All right. Putting on the headphone.
Go ahead. What's the next team?
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I hear the echo.
The Houston Texans.
The Houston Astros.
Bill O'Brien.
Who's hated more, Bill O'Brien or the Astros baseball team? I still hear the echo, by the way. It's all right. We'll keep it.
All right. There we go.
There we go. Good man. All right. Good man.
All right. Make me use my headphones. Okay. Bill O'Brien. It's good time for no echo because I'm going to rant here.
You're going to dunk on Bill O'Brien right now?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a great.
Hold on. Let me lower the rim so you can dunk on.
I saw a great photo of Bill O'Brien in a draft room.
I saw that one.
Like, I don't know what I'm doing. The captain, I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah, he went bonkers. Okay.
So not only did you get rid of DeAndre Hopkins, you neutered one of the greatest quarterbacks in the league, Deshaun Watson. Right now, I'm drafting in a dynasty super flex. I'm like, Deshaun Watson, I don't know, rank 15. Why? He's got no weapons, no one to throw to.
So let's do this real quick because that's important.
So wait, so
where are we ranking him? Okay. All right, but God, you finish your rant, then I'll ask.
Hold up. Then it's the greatest wide receiver draft ever. Okay. All there are stud wide receivers all through. It's like, all right, you know what? I get it. You got rid of DeAndre Hopkins, but they'll take somebody good. Nope. No, we're taking a tackle, a defensive tackle with our first pick in the second round. And oh, we took an edge rusher with our second pick in this draft. And oh, you waited till the last round to take a fucking wide receiver? What are you thinking? Who are the wide receivers for the Texans? Hold on, I'm going to tell you because your mind is going to explode. Nobody. That's Will Fuller.
You gotta like Will Fuller this year, right?
Why? Did somebody teach him how to stretch out his hammy before the game? Did he get a trainer? Is TB12 hanging out in Houston right now? Fucking Tom Brady. What's Todd Brady's trainer? Is he working with Will Fuller? Because unless Will Fuller learned how to stretch out his hammy, he's not going to last more than 3 games. Questionable. Questionable. I got Will Fuller on my dynasty. Questionable. He's questionable. What the fuck was that? What's wrong with Bill O'Brien? All right, now, right now that I'm done with that.
No, sorry. Listen, it doesn't matter. You see, people like think it's like an easy like dunking on like a fifth grader, dunking Bill O'Brien, but I enjoy it. I like when you do it. And he only furthered the narrative by like yelling at his computer that was the best thing ever.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah. That was awesome.
I don't know what I'm doing. All right. So,
So what did they get in this draft? Nothing much as far as the skill positions. They did get some of the boring positions. I did take a look at some of their players they got. I mean, I like them. I don't think that they had a draft. I think all their story was the offseason. But I guess the biggest question is here is like, what are you doing with Deshaun Watson? Where are you ranking him? Now, we have our Lamar and Pat Mahomes. Now, you and I both agree Kyler, Dak, and and Josh Allen make up the next tier. Is that where we're putting Deshaun in there? We're putting right
after Josh Allen.
Okay, but before Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and all those guys.
If it's the bold calls approach, you go to, I'm not going to say names, but if you go to a generic breakdown, you're going to see Russell Wilson number 4. You're going to see Aaron Rodgers over there.
No, in our rankings.
If you want the bold calls breakdown, that's what we're doing here. We're not here to tell you, take fucking Russell Wilson. I love him. Best player in the NFL, potentially. He's going to get you 12s, 4, 5, 6 weeks of the season. Why would you want to? Why would you take that guy? Why would you reach for that guy? For the 340 game? What about all the 12s?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. And it's in, I lost my train of thought, but yeah, I mean, we're going to have
Watson. Where do you take?
We're going to have Daniel Jones above Russell Wilson in our rankings when we put him out. I know people in the Slack chat and DFS Army have been asking for my rankings. We just want to make sure they're done correctly. They will be out. I know some of you have your drafts and you can ask us questions as you're going along. Who do you like better, this guy or that guy? But we'll have them out in a couple days, at least the top 48 for rookies. And we'll have the season long drafts shortly after that. But
of course. Yeah.
I mean, right now we're having a discussion. Like, we have Daniel Jones above Aaron Rodgers. We have Daniel Jones above Russell Wilson. We're just making sure we're comfortable publishing that. But that's kind of where we're going on this.
Sometimes when you make a bold call, it's a little bit uncomfortable. But all right, back to the Texans breakdown. The reason Deshaun Watson is falling is because they did not give him any weapons. You can't produce at the quarterback position as well. Now, that said, Deshaun Watson produces with his legs. He, you know, we know his explosiveness. And if Will Fuller is healthy, I think, you know, you got to love Will Fuller for his healthy games. I think he'll be one of the most popular players every single week. But I mean, that hammy, he doesn't know how to stretch it out. You got to stretch it out. You know what I do every night now? I stretch it out. I got my kid. She's like, hey, do this, do that. I'm stretching. That's what Will Fuller's got to do. Got to stretch it out.
Eat
some steak or something.
Hey, by the way, in our dynasty league that's going on right now, you know, I picked 6. You picked first in our Superflex startup, $300 entry, major entry, big prize at the end. Good players. You picked first. You took Pat Mahomes. I'm up on pick 6. Michael Thomas fell to me. I'm thinking about going that direction.
Well, we don't need to. No one cares about your dynasty league.
I was just, throwing.
I like that it's going on. No one cares.
Well, we're live. We're live. All right. Well, let's keep it going.
Here we go. We got. Let's move to the next team because Texans, Bill O'Brien, terrible, terrible draft, terrible trade. I can't even talk about it. Let's move on to the next team. But before we do, I want to remind you, if you're watching this, you want this kind of content, you like this show, you like the breakdown, you love fantasy football, you like it year round, like and subscribe to the channel.
We always forget to tell people that.
You got to like and subscribe. You got to like the video. Let us know you're watching. Subscribe so that next time we do a live broadcast, you're over here commenting. You'll get a notification. You could jump on with us. We do these all the time.
Yep.
Like and subscribe to the channel. And
I was going to say, in addition to that, when we start putting out our rankings, Geek, what I'm going to do is I'm going to do a DFS Army 30-second breakdown of each player and start publishing those on the DFS Army Instagram, on my personal Instagram. So at DFS Army on Instagram, Allen Fantasy Football on Instagram, TikTok, same thing, Allen Fantasy Football at DFS Army. So look for those 30 to 40-second player breakdowns coming as soon as our rankings are published.
And if you find me on TikTok, I'll be doing little dances.
All right. So let's try to hit a few more teams because I don't want to go over an hour. We got 25 minutes.
We're getting through this. Okay. Next up, this is a big one and lots of fantasy goodness. I want to almost drum roll
team.
The Indianapolis Colts. One of my favorite drafts of the season from a fantasy perspective. Why? Michael Pittman Jr. Very exciting.
This is my guy. This is my guy. Well, I was telling you that I had him at wide receiver 5, I think, pre-draft. And, I mean, he's done nothing to push that down. I thought maybe the Jets would get him in round 2. Obviously, NFL teams are way smarter than we are. They're going to take – the Colts took him at the very early – they took him before Jonathan Taylor, just so you know. So he profiled – he's a 6'5" monster with the sickest hands, a red zone machine. At USC, he caught everything. This guy profiles – I think his upside is like Michael Thomas.
Unreal.
Yeah, no, he's going to be a guy that you get at the end of the first round in your dynasty rookie drafts, and you're going to be like, oh my God. I mean, you would get him at like pick 5 in most years. If he slips to like 13, 14, 15, you better believe that you just got a steal. I mean, he's coming into the Colts at the perfect time. T.Y. Hilton is on his last legs. Paris Campbell profiles as the speed guy. I mean, this is going to, whoever the next quarterback is, they drafted a quarterback, Jacob Eason.
Yeah, it's not the next quarterback. Stop.
Well, whoever it is not going to have a problem. This is a guy that you just throw it up to and the Michael Thomas type of guy gets it. You should be very happy. And for this year too, I think he's relevant this year.
Love, love, love that pick. And we're going to get to the bigger name in a second here, but love Michael Pittman Jr. Love what he does for this offense. T.Y. Yeah. Hilton getting up there in age. Hammy, same him and Will Fuller, same trainer. Didn't know that. They train with the same guy, the guy who doesn't stretch out the hammies. And he's got issues with the legs all the time. Michael Pittman Jr., team that produced a quality fantasy performances from the likes of, I can't remember the name. Jeez. All right. I'm sorry. The name escapes me, but there were these random nobody journeymen busting it. Like Dontrell Inman, was it?
You're talking about guys that were on Indianapolis? Zach Pascal?
Yeah, Zach Pascal and Dontrell Inman coming out, putting up great fantasy scores. Now you've got a real monster at the position. Again, Paris Campbell didn't show that much. I love Michael Pittman here. But the one that everybody wants to talk about, running back, Jonathan Taylor, JT Swizzles. Okay? Coming in, a lot of debate. Marlon Mack, I love Jonathan Taylor. Here's why I like Jonathan Taylor. First of all, he could play the Austin Eckler role this year. Okay.
Well, I mean, he's not known for his pass catching, so that's a problem. I mean, he can do it, but he's more like a guy that can get like 1,500 yards this year, and I totally believe that. But Nyheim Hines, man, I know you're just gonna go like this and whoosh me off, but you're talking about this year. Yeah, Chip Diamond.
Love him.
You see him interview people at the UFC that one time?
I saw. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, no, I love Jonathan Taylor because, like you just said, he's just he profiles as like everything that all the good parts of Derrick Henry. Plus, he probably has like Adrian Peterson like pass catching ability, which means like he can do it. He can do it. He got, he caught
Adrian Peterson was a good pass catcher.
He was okay.
catch it.
Yeah, he was fine. But I'm just saying is that Nyheim Hines and Marlon Mack are there for redraft. You and I think we have different views on this, and give your view.
I'll give mine.
Okay. Well, I put up a poll that said who's going to on the DFS Army. I said who should be ranked higher for redraft, Jonathan Taylor or Marlon Mack? And obviously, Marlon Mack won that 2-1. So it was
Taylor won it 2-1.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yes. Yeah. Taylor won it 2-1, 65% to 35%.
Yeah.
And I understand why. Everyone has rookie fever. Jonathan Taylor has so much upside. He deserves consideration as the 1-1 in your rookie dynasty draft. But Marlon Mack is on his last year of his contract. They're going to run him to the wheels fall off. Marlon Mack is an excellent pass blocker. Phillip Rivers is a veteran quarterback. Okay. I'm not saying Marlon Mack is going to be an RB1, but I think that he can be annoying enough to cap the upside of Jonathan Taylor. Combine that with Nyheim Hines, who's one of the best pass catchers in the NFL, and he's on the last year of his contract. I think, and you just outlined how Phillip Rivers likes to throw the running back. I'm just saying that for the first 5 weeks in fantasy, which is half of your fantasy season, Jonathan Taylor might disappoint at his second round ADP.
That's fair. All right, so here's my take. I've been a Marlon Mack dynasty owner from his rookie year. I picked him up in the second round of the dynasty rookie draft, waited for him to get the opportunity. He's an oft-injured player. He can be exciting at times, but he's extremely limited because he legitimately can't be thrown to. And that's a big difference, yes. I think, between him and Taylor.
Right.
And
I agree with that, too. He at least has something.
He has Gordon Howard-esque hands of stone.
No, I'm saying, right. Well, Marlon Mack is that way. Like, you know, he's running. Right. No, I accept that Taylor at least is a three-down threat.
He's a three-down threat. Now, teams are getting away from this idea of you put this guy on the field, they know there's no pass threat to the running back. We saw it with the Patriots a couple of years ago in the Super Bowl. They brought out Burkhead because it was too obvious with Michelle and White what was going on. So I believe that he was brought in to replace Marlon Mack, not to be a complement to Marlon Mack. We'll see some of that replacement happening this year. Neither one of them have great value for me this season. I don't like either one of these guys as a running back play this year. Don't get me wrong, because they are going to split touches. Mack is still going to be there. They're going to both have opportunities. But A, Mack gets hurt a lot. And B, the longer term, the dynasty view is this guy will take over this role, a good team to be a running back on. So in redraft, even this year, I think Taylor is the better play. He's fresher, he's younger, and he's not getting injured all the time. Plus, he brings a more versatile skill set to the table. I don't mind taking Marlon Mack in best ball at some point along the way. We don't know. Rookies, they don't know. You never know if a rookie's going to hold up. Listen, a couple of years ago, we thought Samaje Perine would be a great player, and he couldn't hold up to the NFL game. You know, we thought Darius Geis was going to be a good player. Couldn't hold up.
Perine was a fifth-round pick. That's the difference. Jonathan Taylor was a high second-round pick. And listen, there's no doubt that he's good. I'm just saying, and like I said, he deserves consideration as the 1-1 in Dynasty. And I think he's going to be fine, but I just think that it could be a rough start, and you don't really want to be 1-4 in fantasy because I've seen him go in a expert draft, and I put experts in quotes because who the hell knows at this point. Jonathan Taylor in the SiriusXM expert draft went pick 14 overall. You're willing to take him above Kenyon Drake, Austin Eckler.
What?
That's what I'm saying. Like,
was that before the actual draft?
No, after the draft.
Yeah,
I can find that draft put up for you. But I'm saying, how can you take him at that ADP and then expect to not
a horrible who?
Yeah, that was Bob Harris.
very, very bad.
Who knows? Bob Harris is smart and knows what he's doing. So I think he was just trying to make a splash. But they obviously didn't take the draft seriously.
Mock drafts are bullshit anyway. Yeah, Don't watch mock. Yeah, they're bullshit.
But if you're doing a mock draft on the radio, I would take it seriously, or else I wouldn't participate. And because honestly, when they started doing that, that's when I turned it off.
Yeah, like it starts just being silly. So that's a bullshit number. He's not going to go in the top two rounds of any kind of fucking league that you're going to be in. And he doesn't belong there. He's in the discussion at RB30, RB25, that area of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to take a shot in like the fourth round, I have no problem with that because, you know, fourth round picks anyway are sketchy. You know, it's like I wouldn't take him, but I would take like receivers like Allen Robinson over him. But I could live to regret it. I just... I'm not interested in a pick that I just want to know that my first three or four picks are going to hit. I just need
there
to
we
know.
Go. All right, let's move on really quick. We're going to do this next one really fast. Not a whole lot of fantasy relevance going on here. There is a little bit, not a ton. So your local hometown team, Jacksonville Jaguars, we're up to Jay, alphabetical order. Wide receiver, Laviska Shenault.
Yeah, Laviska Shenault. He, you know, it's so funny with Laviska Shenault out of Colorado. So he is literally the most his draft stock went, I'm doing this with my hand, like a roller coaster. It went up and down. He has truthers that think he should have been like a top five receiver. And then he has detractors like myself who thought that he shouldn't even be worth a second round pick. He's a big dude. He's been hurt a few times. That's why I didn't want him. So when they picked him, I was like, ugh. You know what he profiles like? My comp for him, geek, is Cordell Patterson. And the Vikings took Patterson in the first round. People were excited about him, but it didn't work out.
Which with huge regrets afterwards. Yeah.
I mean, and he was, and Patterson was a perfectly good like player to have on your team, you know, like when the Patriots had him for return special. I mean, you know, but it's not a guy you want in the second round with all those receivers on the board. I'm down on Shenault in our dynasty rookie draft. There's going to be people that love him and take him, but he's like one of those guys. Like I would take KJ Hamler over Shenault in dynasty rookie draft.
These are guys that are going to go in your second round of your rookie draft. And at
but
some
he's gonna
point
go early, he's going to go early.
You think so? I mean, I early in the second.
Like in rankings, he'll be not my rankings, in dynasty rankings. When you look around all the different websites, he's going to be like wide receiver 8, wide receiver 9. He's going to be like, he's going to be pitted right after Mike Pittman, he'll be before Brandon Ayuk, who I like better than him. I mean,
Jacksonville purged their wide receiver position a little bit. Marquise Lee is gone.
Mm-hmm. Marquise Lee's gone.
DJ Chark is there doing his thing. DD
Westbrook sucks.
Yeah,
he's feeling Cole has disappeared.
Yeah, so, you know, there is definitely opportunities for this guy to present himself and do something, but the Jaguars lack a quality quarterback, so I don't really expect a whole lot out of anything from that team. Let's move on. Jaguars fans.
But by the way, you
hate mail.
Jaguars are literally, I would say, the favorite to have the worst record in the NFL next year. And unfortunately, that's hurting my feelings because that means they have to take Trevor Lawrence. And that means Gardner Minshew is no more. So
he'll still be there on the bench being his awesome.
But what if he has a good season?
Then they won't get the first pick, and then it's nothing to worry about.
There you go.
He could turn it around. He can save himself.
No, that's good. I like
that. The legend of Gardner can save himself. Let's move on to the team and the player everybody wants to talk about. No one cares about anything else. They want to talk about the Chiefs. They want to talk about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Okay? First running back off the board. Very, very exciting. Chiefs offense. Helaire, a pass catcher, extraordinaire, fits perfectly with the Chiefs system. Not a whole lot else going on in this draft for fantasy relevance, but how much more fantasy goodness do we need on this Chiefs offense than a pass catching running back taken first overall, first running back taken in this draft, the only first round running back taken in this draft, passed on DeAndre Swizzles to take him. Break it down.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire. In the modern day NFL, the smart teams are realizing that the elite pass catching running backs, the Austin Eckler types, are what wins championships. And no one realized that more than Andy Reid. I'm not going to repeat a story that everybody's heard already. Andy Reid saw the tape. He said, hey, there's Brian Westbrook plus, and he drafted him. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire had one.
By the way, man, I don't need the plus. Dude, if it's Brian Westbrook.
Right, that's what I'm saying. I mean, he had, you know, next year we're going to be talking about Clyde Edwards-Helaire as a first-round fantasy pick. But Damian Williams isn't going away. I think it's going to be a 50-50 split. Clyde Edwards-Helaire had an amazing year. Now, in college, remember, if you get 25 receptions in a college season, that's great. He had 55, so I mean, he was running real routes. He doesn't have breakaway speed, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but he has spin moves and footwork like the best of them. And sharp people had Clyde Edwards-Helaire ranked above DeAndre Swift. I still like Swift better as far as just pure talent, but there's no denying when you're playing next to Pat Mahomes for the next 4 years, 5 years with a franchise tag, how can you not like this guy? He's really good, and more importantly, they like him. So, I mean, he's the 1-1 in dynasty rookie drafts. He's he's well worth a third round pick if you can even get him there at this point. And I wouldn't hate it. Like I like him better than Le'Veon Bell, Leonard Fournette in redraft.
So much explosiveness, so much potential here.
Yeah.
They've had Jags putting up numbers in the backfield for this Chiefs offense. And now they've invested a first round pick. They love him. Calling him Brian Westbrook plus. I'll take the, I don't need the plus.
Yeah. Now he looks, fine. Yeah, he looks better. And then it's like, and then on top of that, like he's the first round pick of a Super Bowl team. A first round pick of a Super Bowl team plays this year.
Yeah, he's there to play. Love him. He's your first pick in a regular dynasty draft. We can have a discussion in Superflex about always taking.
I was just going to ask you in Superflex, where are you going with this? Are you you're definitely taking Burrow above him?
I don't know. I'm still the whole Superflex thing and having to favor quarterbacks more is still throws me off. The whole thing throws me off, but. Overall, well,
put it this way.
This is a guy you want to trade up with. You want to trade up in your PPR league, in your if you have two picks, like, well, you know.
Let me tell you one other thing that I heard about Clyde Edwards-Helaire today that was really funny. So Rich Dotson said this. He said, if I owned Alvin Kamara in my dynasty team, Saquon Barkley, Joe Mixon, and Nick Chubb, and I needed help at receiver, and I had the 1-1, I'm still taking Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
There it is. Like,
yeah, he's the 1-1.
There again, outside when we take Superflex off the table, especially with this, the landing spots of Taylor and Swift, which were not spectacular for fantasy purposes, at least right now, and I think even for the medium term, Helaire becomes the easy first. He's the standout guy. He's the guy that you might want to make a trade up for in your dynasty league. Like if you can get to one, maybe you've got somebody there who's kind of like, I don't know, I'm open, or it's a really deep draft. I want extra picks.
Right.
Yes. Like, let's say you have pick three. I would throw pick three and a second rounder. That's pick 15.
You give up 1-3 and 2-3 for 1-1?
Yes, to move up to 1-1. Absolutely. Get the guy.
I disagree with that, but I respect the call.
Yeah, I would do that. I think you get the guy.
I think there's a tier of four in non-Superflex leagues. But I respect it because
there's a tier here, but I think it's worth moving up.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can rebuild with Clyde. You don't have to be a win now team in Dynasty to have Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He'll be around for 4 or 5 years. He'll have like the Zeke staying power.
Absolutely. And 4 or 5 years, it could be 7, 8 years.
I'm not going to bet on that for a running back. I'm going to bet on the first contract plus a franchise tag.
There we go. All right. Moving on. So
how many more teams we got?
One, two, three, four, five, six. We got a few. Let's keep going.
We're gonna because I want to break this into parts. So we'll do 1 hour time. So we'll do one more team. We'll stop and we'll do this every day until we get through the whole thing. It might take 3 days. It might take 4 days.
But all right. So let's make this the last one then. If we're gonna do that, we're breaking it up. We're at the Raiders. R A B C D J J L M N P Q R. About halfway through.
That was good. I couldn't have done that.
The Raiders. Las Vegas. Henry Ruggs.
First ever pick of the Las Vegas Raiders.
Surprise pick. Shock the world. Season long says, bold call. He says, Henry Ruggs, first player off the board. In our bold calls, NFL draft prop show. Give me a second. It takes a minute for it all to come out of my head here.
Yeah.
NFL draft prop show. Season long says, Henry Ruggs, first. Take that prop. Get 5-1 odds. Did you take the prop?
I did, baby. I put
5-1 odds.
Yeah, I put it down. I was able to get $50 was the max bet they were taking on that. So I maxed it out at $50. I would have put $100 on if they would have let me. And I put that $250 right in my pocket. So
exciting player. I'm going to look at the rest of their draft. I'll mention a couple other names here. Nothing too exciting. Nothing crazy, but still. Players of relevance.
There's some players here. There's a sneaky guy that went under the radar because they were. Well, let me
break it down. I'll name the players. You break it down.
Okay.
We got us another running back / wide receiver in Lynn Bowden Jr. What's the comparable in the NFL to a guy like this?
Percy Harvin.
Percy Harvin, hybrid player, could run it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Lynn Bowden's instantly the RB2 on that team. I mean, he's that good.
What about WR? Is he the WR2 also and RB2? Like, what's going on here?
he's the Percy Harvin. He's the gadget player. They can move him around because the next guy that they drafted in the exact next pick, Bryan Edwards, is he's a monster. He's a 6'4", you know, 200-plus-pound guy with huge wingspan. I mean, he was one of my favorite guys that was going to go in round three. He's the Tyrell Williams replacement. And Bowden is, and you, they still have Hunter Renfrow in the slot. So Bowden for fantasy is going to be tricky, but he's a good player. He's a quality NFL player that's going to make that team better. But for there we fantasy, go. I'm laying
Bryan Edwards. Well, let me talk about what we talked about ahead of this draft.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I was saying to you is like wide receiver to Raiders is a guy you want, whoever that guy is. This is a team that does not have any player on the roster that is a NFL wide receiver. Tyrell the Gazelle. Okay.
Well, he's better cat. Tyrell's like a good number three to have on your team. He's not a number one. He's not a number two.
Not going to be the guy. He had his chance to be the guy. One thing that I've learned in all of my year, you had your chance to be the guy. You couldn't do it. You're not going to be the guy next year. You had your shot. J.J. Yeah. Arthega, same deal. You had your chance.
Give him one more shot. All right. Give J.J., my guy, J.J., one more
fair,
shot.
Fair, but that other guy, we're talking about Tyrell, a veteran. So not the same as our Arthega Whiteside could learn. I doubt he will. But I doubt.
You notice they double tapped? You see they had pick 80 and 81. They Raiders picked back-to-back, and they double tapped the wide receiver. There's no excuse for Derek Carr at this point. Like,
Derek Carr has one excuse.
He sucks. Yeah,
pretty deep pass.
Yeah, they got Ruggs. I mean, Bryan Edwards is a monster, man. He's going to be high in my rankings. I'm going to have trouble deciding between him and Pittman
They retooled their entire passing offense here between Ruggs, Edwards. Now you've got sort of a slotty type of guy here in Bowden Jr. They retooled the entire, but they still have Carr at quarterback.
That's why I didn't understand why they didn't get rid of Derek Carr. I mean, they signed if you want to go with Mariota, great. Let's go with Mariota.
Mariota, are you crazy? Why would you not take Jameis Winston? What are they thinking over there?
Or Cam, or trade for Andy Dalton, or no, you know,
like Cam. I don't like Cam. Cam is hurt. I think he's damaged goods.
I think they're sick right now that they didn't grab Jameis. I mean, they couldn't once they signed Mariota to a large
why?
Fat.
Why would you?
It wasn't a good call. It wasn't a good call.
No. I'm sorry, but as far as this draft overall, I mean, a lot of fantasy relevance, and for the Raiders, a lot of goodness down the road, a lot of potential dynasty goodness here, like Henry Ruggs. I mean, is he your number one pick in your dynasty at wide receiver?
I've done two dynasty rookie drafts already, like real drafts, like leagues that I'm in where there's sick maniacs that want to draft like the minute the draft is over.
They are
Ruggs is a value already. So he went pick 11 in one and pick 14 in the other, the Superflex one. So,
wow.
Yeah. Now they're knocking him down the board. They're reading him as DeSean Jackson, which I understand why. And they're taking, you know, like Jalen Reagor above him. They're taking, you know, there's a reason they're taking Justin Jefferson above him for fantasy. So if you're picking at the end of round one, or if you had a high pick and you had a high second round pick, there's a chance for Ruggs in Superflex. In non-Superflex, he's probably going to go pick 11, 12, 10.
Unreal. So he is dropping down quite a bit. And what about Bryan Edwards? I mean, can I get him in the third round of my dynasty rookie draft at this point? And is Edwards, he a spectacular buy there?
No, I mean, I took Edwards at 2.9.
Okay, there you go. And you took him. If you weren't taking him there, he could have dropped into the third.
He was the next receiver on the queue also, so he probably would have gone. Okay. I would have taken him earlier. Like, I would have taken him at 2.5, but there was some running backs I liked there. So, yeah, I mean, he's not getting out of the second round. And in a league that's a little softer, you might get him at 3.1, 3.2. But if you him and you're in the second round, you got to take him.
Okay, so final grade, Raiders, for fantasy purposes.
Good.
Very good draft. Lots of skill position players here. They powered up that offense as a whole with all of this talent. We're going to cut it off here, guys. Yeah. We're up to the Chargers.
I see you, Sapper Stud. I see that you said that Mariota was Mayock's choice. I love that. And that's true.
That is absolutely true. But still, Mayock, has he not watched NFL since 5 years ago? Because that ain't such a, you know, hey, accept that you made a mistake and move on. Now, we'll be back
tomorrow.
LA Chargers, starting point, alphabetical order, AFC, tomorrow. For those of you watching this, you want the rankings, go to dfsarmy.com. Within a few days, we'll have dynasty rankings published. notes.
Give me the week. Give me the week to get him up.
2 days, or you're out. 2 days. That's it. Now you'll have your full best ball rankings. This is it. Now we're into the best ball season. Now the NFL draft is over. We could really, really start to think about all the free agency is done. We're going to think about our.
I'm happy you're saying this. I'm happy you're saying that because you know what? I was listening to a podcast of ours from last year, and it was like May 20th, and I was like, oh, we're in the heart of best ball season. And you started laughing at me like, no,
who's
you're
drafting
in the
now? Well, right. Also, there's no but other sports. In fairness, yeah, but I participate in other sports.
No, and
now
I get that. And I get that. But now you're seeing like what I got to see what your life was like this year by seeing how busy you are with all the different sports and how you work all the magic and how you manage people brilliantly. But now you got to see this world of NFL that I'm just, you know, since February. Best
only. Yeah, I love it. It's great stuff. So go to dfsarmy.com, get signed up. You'll get access to all of our rankings, all of our draft information, of course, everything else, every sport, esports, we do it all. We do it all. We're crushing every sport. It's not, we don't fuck around. All right. We are serious daily fantasy sports players, but I love my season long. I love my dynasty. I love everything to do with fantasy. I like beating games more than anything else. I like beating games. So go to dfsarmy.com, get signed up as a DFS Army VIP. That gets you into our chat. You can ask Cez questions. You get to ask questions of me. We talk about everything. We're super open. We're talking about buying stocks. Got the DraftKings stock at $11. It's 22, 21 today. Just riding it up. Would have had that tip. Good to go. And we'll be back tomorrow. LA Chargers, like and subscribe to the channel. You'll be notified when we go live.
Later, everybody. Take care.
Take care, everyone.